Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, a new quote-unquote bipartisan gun framework bill. What does it mean? Why are Republicans always capitulating yet calling it negotiation? We'll go through that and more. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. The Dow is down 657 points as I am reading it right now. Its low on the day was down 800 points. We will keep an eye on that as the economy craters. Crashflation is here, where the economy is crashing in front of our very eyes, a slow motion car wreck, which is something we have been predicting on this program for quite some time. All the economists and the experts that you might see on shows like Face the Nation or 60 Minutes, they said, oh, we didn't see this coming. It's either they should all resign in disgrace because they are complete and total imbeciles, or they should resign in disgrace because they manufactured this and they lied to us. Either way, they are overseeing one of the most dangerous economic climates in a generation. This economy it's going into a place of chaos and disorder. The worst possible combination is low growth, low productivity, low consumer confidence, and lots of dollar bills. There's almost no good way to get out of it except be in an 18 to 24 month recession depression. So we're going to get into that in great detail as our show progresses. I know that impacts a lot of you directly. I've told the story many times, but I was condescendingly lectured by people in Wall Street. There is no inflation, Charlie. We look at all the numbers. We know exactly what's happening here. And I pushed back. This was back in February of last year. I said, no, we're seeing inflation on the front lines. Inflation is a very real thing. We just created $7 trillion out of thin air. How are we not going to see inflation? I'm already starting to see it in grocery and lumber. Oh, Charlie, leave it to us experts, is what I was told time again by people on the right, by the way, not just people on the left. The people running our country, they have no idea what they're doing, or they're doing intentionally. I think it's a mixture of both. But I first want to get into some of the breaking news around the Second Amendment. Do you notice that we are always surrendering to the left when it matters? Do you notice that they never capitulate to anything that we ask for? How many Democrats went out of their way to go vote for the border wall? How many Democrats went out of their way to go vote for increased border security? How many Democrats went out of their way to try to give Donald Trump anything that he asked for back in 2016, 17, or 18? How many? None. Zero. They held the line. Well, Chris Murphy from Connecticut has now come out and he has said, quote, "We have a deal. Today, a bipartisan group of 20 senators, 10 Democrats and 10 Republicans, is announcing a breakthrough agreement on gun violence, the first in 30 years, that will save lives. I think you'll be surprised at the scope of the framework." Yeah, before I go any further, I actually agree with you, Senator Murphy from Connecticut. I am pretty surprised. I am surprised that Republicans from deep red states continually are able to betray their voters. I am surprised that they're able to tell their voters one thing when it comes to size and scope of government, federal overreach, the Second Amendment, and they're coming to the table to even begin the quote-unquote negotiation process with you. This is not a negotiation. This is a capitulation. I'm going to read through what Chris Murphy tweeted here, but there is not one concession from the Democrats. Not one. There's not one dollar bill that's going to be sent for armed security. There's not one dollar bill here to try to harden our schools. There's not one piece of appropriation to try to make it harder to get into our schools. No, this is not a negotiation. This is not coming to a middle ground. This is Republicans agreeing with what the Democrats want to do. Maybe not all that Democrats want to do, but part of what Democrats want to do. Why is our country less free than it was 30 or 40 years ago? It's because one side capitulates while calling it compromise. Our side, the Republicans, they'll go to Washington, D.C. under the framework that they never have to try to drag Democrats to try to agree with them, but instead they have to go out of their way to try to agree with Democrats. Why is that? I think there's a deeper psychological issue of Republicans that just want to be liked. I know that might sound as an oversimplification. I know that might sound as kind of too easy of an answer, but it comes down to it. You have people that in their life, they live very sad and miserable personal lives. Very few of them have large families. Very few of them would be content building communities or attending church services. They want something more, and some of that is to get a sign of approval from the New York Times that I have here in my right hand. Part of it is this deep yearning to be in the cool kids club. The psychology of what drives a high school is no different than the psychology of what drives Congress. The only difference is that you're appropriating trillions of dollars and the people are older. The desire to be liked by the regime is a temptation that very few Republicans are able to resist. And credit to Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Ron Johnson for their ability to consistently push back against this temptation. Because when they come to you, it sounds like you get to be the bigger person. Ooh, you get to be part of a bipartisan framework. You're going to get a nice article. Here's how the New York Times wrote it. Front page, by the way, and I'm sure they wake up early and they get their little latte and they feel so good about themselves. Senators agree on framework for gun safety. Rare bipartisan deal. Narrow set of measures secures the backing of 10 Republicans. Senate negotiators. See, there's not a negotiation. It should be Senate surrenderers. There's no negotiation. The only negotiation is Republicans saying, well, we don't want to go that far. We didn't want to go that far. You know what a negotiation is? Say, okay, we'll give you federal law against gun trafficking and straw purchasing, which we'll get into, by the way, a little bit later in the show. We'll give you that if you give us money for armed guards at schools. We'll give you this if you give us better training for teachers to be able to have firearms at their disposal. That's a negotiation. It's a give and take. It's an ebb and flow. A negotiation is that we are going to have new standards. If you receive federal funding from schools, you're going to have a certain standard that you're going to have hardened schools, single point entry, that schools could potentially be fined if they leave doors open erroneously, if they don't have certain checks and balances. That would be a good negotiation. Now, I wouldn't support some of this nonsense in this bill, this soon-to-be bill that they're announcing, but that would at least be a good faith negotiation. Okay, you want to have billions of dollars in new funding for mental health? I'm fine for that, including money for national build-out community mental health clinics. Now, part of it is they say they have mental health and school safety. We don't really know what that means. It's not clear yet. So we'll have to see in the bill. Then it's very vague. School safety could be masks for children. School safety could be increased vaccination capacity. You think I'm joking? These people, these open-ended grants could be used for anything. But the thrust of it, the backbone of this soon-to-be authored bill is the red flag laws. It's the first thing. Chris Murphy is enthusiastic to announce from Connecticut, the gun-grabbing Democrat, that he was able to swindle Republicans to come alongside of it. Now, again, some of this is not that interesting. Some of the stuff in this bill is, quite honestly, it's rather banal. It's kind of boring. It's very simple. Some of this is horrifying and needs to be talked about. In particular, the first item. The first item around red flag laws. We're going to build that out, but if you want an answer as to why our country is significantly less free than when you grew up, It's because one side capitulates while they call it negotiation. For a couple years now, people have been setting up a contest between crypto and gold. But that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since Ukraine, the oil, and the inflation crisis, it's done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, who isn't? Just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metal IRAs for your retirement. They'll put you straight on your options and hold your hand through the whole setup process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. So call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Okay, so, I mean, you read this bill from Murphy. Some of this is fine. Some of it I support, like billions of dollars for mental health. Like, okay, absolutely. I think that's necessary. Some of it is rather banal. Clarification of the laws regarding who needs to register as a licensed gun dealer to make sure all truly commercial sellers are doing background checks. I have my skepticism of trusting the government to do that. But the one that I really want to focus on is this red flag law thing. I am enthusiastically against red flag laws. Now, let me be very clear. The people that support red flag laws or pushing for red flag laws largely, I think, have good intentions. There are the gun grabbers that support red flag laws, and we know who they are. Chris Murphy is one of them. But I think that the general population, when they hear about a red flag law, they said, yeah, that's a great idea. And so I want to kind of just level and just say, I hear you, but I see it completely differently. And I'm going to tell you why. Well, most Americans think that, yeah, we should have the ability to be able to throw a flag down, red flag, and prevent a firearm purchase if someone is deemed to be dangerous to themselves or the community. So, for example, terrorists shouldn't be able to own guns, right? I mean, terrorists are super dangerous. We don't like terrorists. And everyone would say, yes, of course, including most Republicans. We don't want terrorists to own guns. But what is a terrorist? Now, it might be obvious to some people what a terrorist is. You think of maybe ISIS or Al-Qaeda or an Islamic fundamentalist that wants to blow up the World Trade Center, or you think of Timothy McVeigh, those are all terrorists, or Eric Rudolph or Ted Kaczynski. But what about your FBI or Department of Justice that calls you a terrorist? Because they do. The Department of Justice had a memo that said very clearly that if you show up to a school board meeting, you might be engaging in domestic terrorism. According to an FBI whistleblower, the Federal Bureau of Investigation engaged in spying and surveillance against a mom from Moms for Liberty for simply owning a firearm. So while it might sound good to have red flag laws against terrorists, what is a terrorist? Well, if you turn on any news network right now, every single one has the January 6th committee, where they are not so subtly calling half the country terrorists. Remember the Department of Homeland Security memo that came out many months ago? The Department of Homeland Security that said people that challenge COVID mandates or vaccine mandates are the greatest threat to American national security in the homeland, that they might be engaging in terrorism. Moms for Liberty co-founder is coming on the program this week. She'll tell us all about it. So here's what Chris Murphy said. Major funding to help states pass and implement crisis intervention orders, red flag laws, that will allow law enforcement to temporarily take dangerous weapons away from people who pose a danger to others or themselves. And that all sounds very fine and good. What is the definition? How do you clarify that? Because, and how naive, honestly, for the Republicans that were capitulating, not negotiating, to not say, hold on a second, Chris Murphy, what do you have to say about the Department of Homeland Security saying that if you push back against mask mandates, you're a domestic terrorist? You have an entire committee right now that is calling half the country coup sympathetic, insurrectionist, all this very, very heavily charged language. So simultaneously, you have the Democrat Party and some Republicans via a committee accusing millions of people being potentially dangerous to not just themselves or their communities, but to the entire civilization. And though we're supposed to just kind of take it that the federal government is now going to have increased red flag laws. You see, I used to believe in these types of programs. I remember being in eighth grade and a freshman in high school, passionately defending the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act, which was, of course, increased domestic surveillance against terrorists. Now, what was hilarious is that it was Democrats mostly that were the ones that were defending the civil liberties. It was a very bizarre time. And this is even weirder, I should say. No one really knows what team they're on. Points are made up and nothing matters. I think that's the expression. As Drew Carey would say, from whose line is it anyway? It's all a fantasy land. But I used to be a passionate defender of the Patriot Act. And I know a lot of you used to as well. Yeah, we got to spy on the terrorists. We got to hold them accountable. And Ron Paul, to his credit, and previously Bernie Sanders, who used to actually be good on civil liberties, believe it or not, said, hold on a second. Be careful of the government that calls you, that calls something a terrorist because you might one day be called a terrorist. Now, Bernie Sanders believed that for a specific reason, because communists used to be called terrorists in the 60s and 70s. Separate issue. I'm sure a lot of you are wondering how you can learn about things that are good, true, and beautiful. Well, I've talked about Hillsdale College for a while. But look, there's a video I want you to see. It's the trailer to Hillsdale College's newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. We talk a lot about current events on the show, but some things are more important than today's news. And C.S. Lewis was a master at addressing life's most important questions through vivid language that's entertaining and fascinating. You may know Lewis as the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, but he's also considered the greatest Christian apologist of the 20th century. As a radio host, I appreciate Lewis's ability to communicate and inspire. In fact, not a lot of people don't know this, but Mere Christianity, his book, began as a series of radio messages. Hillsdale's free online course covers C.S. Lewis's profound insights into good and evil, prayer in the Bible, and even heaven and hell. And did I mention his course is entirely free? So go watch the trailer video of C.S. Lewis on Christianity and sign up for this new free online course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Look, charlieforhillsdale.com, you guys should go there at least once a week. You guys can get online courses, sign up for Imprimis, learn about Aristotle, learn about the Constitution, learn about the Declaration, learn about the Federalist Papers. It's charlieforhillsdale.com. Again, charlieforhillsdale.com. Charlie, just like the bots took over social media for their own agenda, red flag laws are likely to attract the same spurious abuse with organized anti-gun groups targeting people. Larry from Yakima. I totally agree. So we have one side that continually capitulates, Republicans, and Democrats that know they can always just kind of bring us over. Now, who are the Republicans that did this before I go further into the argument against red flag laws? John Cornyn from Texas. I'd love anyone listening right now in Texas, feel free to email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Did you go elect John Cornyn to try to make it harder for people to own weapons? Tom Tillis from North Carolina. I can't imagine North Carolina is on board for this. Senator Toomey. Now, I will say something about Senator Toomey. Not a big fan of his, but it's a very interesting argument, which is, I'll be very honest, I'm a huge fan, in theory, of term limits. I think term limits, in theory, are great. But I think it's actually a little bit messier when it comes to the topic of term limits than people realize. Because Toomey, he can vote for whatever he wants to vote for right now, largely because he doesn't have an upcoming election. He doesn't care. He's retiring. So for people that think that term limits is our ultimate salvation structurally, I push back against it. Now, if you were to say, Charlie, would you support term limits? I would. But I just want to say it's a little bit messier than people might take when it comes to term limits. Senator Joe Manchin, no surprise. Senator Blumenthal, still serving in Vietnam. Senator Collins, no surprise. Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. What is going on with Lindsey Graham lately? Lindsey Graham. So let me get this straight. Lindsey Graham is enthusiastic about arming Ukrainians, but is trying his best to put forth red flag laws that very well could disarm his own voters. And then Bill Cassidy is basically an independent moderate at this time. Bill Cassidy, it's too bad. I've known Bill Cassidy for a while, and he's just become more and more liberal throughout the years. He didn't start as a liberal, but he's just become this very moderate senator from Louisiana. And isn't it interesting? You look at Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Louisiana. So let's just take those states. Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Louisiana. Outside of North Carolina, Texas, South Carolina, Louisiana, I would imagine those three states, let's just take that, Texas, South Carolina, and Louisiana, Donald Trump, on average, probably won those states by 8 to 10 points. On average. Now, mind you, this bill is probably going to get even more votes. Mitt Romney, Murkowski are probably going to vote for it as well. Murkowski's going to be interesting, though, actually. I might stop myself. She's in a very contentious primary right now against Tish Baca. Oh, Romney signed on to it already? Of course he did. But in Alaska, Alaska's a strange state in the sense that, not in a bad way, they're okay with more social benefits and social welfare. In fact, they almost have a state-based equivalent of universal basic income. But do not touch Alaskans' guns. Don't even talk about it. Don't even mention it. Don't even get in the room to negotiate it in Alaska. So I'm going to read this again. Chris Murphy says, these red flag laws will allow law enforcement to temporarily take dangerous weapons away who pose a danger to others or themselves. So here's the steps. It takes three steps. Number one, which we've been living through the narrative, the government makes widespread accusations of who is dangerous. Terrorists. The Republican Party is dangerous. Connor, can you get Brennan calling half the country terrorists, that one clip, please, or insurrectionists, including libertarians? You could find that clip. I know we have it somewhere. It just perfectly proves my point. Step two is then pass a piece of legislation that then fits in this widespread criteria. Then step three is then you enforce it. So in Texas, Donald Trump won by 6 points. Alaska, Donald Trump won by 5 points. In Utah, Donald Trump won by 21 points. To give you an example. What point does that prove? The argument I'm making is that people in Alaska, 10%. Is that the point that I'm making is that these politicians are so disconnected from their voters. And almost defiantly so. I mean, Senator Collins, I'm okay with, honestly. Because remember, it takes 10 to break the filibuster. Senator Collins has always been very honest how she's a moderate. She's not a conservative. She's going to D.C. to negotiate. That's what she runs on. That's what she wins on. It helps Republicans get the majority. That is not what Lindsey Graham runs on. Lindsey Graham runs on being this hard right conservative. John Cornyn runs on being this hard right conservative. What I'm getting at is that you cannot have a functioning republic if politicians and decision makers are two totally different things when it comes to their voters. In the defense of Susan Collins, she's always said she's a moderate. To everyone in Maine, she's known as a moderate. She campaigns as a moderate. Her kind of major selling point is that she's a moderate in Maine. I spend a lot of time in Maine. I have. I love Maine. It is not Texas. It isn't. Okay. But Tom Tillis? Did Tom Tillis go to the people of North Carolina, especially in a Republican primary, and say, vote for me so I can put red flag laws in? North Carolina, by the way, that has some of the largest military bases in the country. And these red flag laws disproportionately impact veterans. One part of this that I find to be fascinating. Will this bill do everything we need to end our nation's gun violence epidemic? No. But it is real, meaningful progress. And it breaks a 30-year logjam, demonstrating Republicans and Democrats can work together in a way that truly saves lives. What Chris Murphy is admitting here at the end of his tweet is that this is just a start. that finally he has broke the logjam towards gun confiscation and gun registration. And instead of holding the line, now the wheels are in motion. And I'm fascinated. I would just love to talk to some of these people. And honestly, I do get a chance to meet some of these senators. And I'll be honest with you guys. I struggle with this because part of me wants to show them respect of the office, respect of the institution. But now part of me is just like, I'm just going to be blunt and I just don't care anymore. Those conversations usually don't go well. I ran into a certain elected official recently in the House of Representatives. And I just kind of blurted out basically impulsively. I'm like, why did you send money, $40 billion to Ukraine? Like, why did you do that? And they were like so taken back that I wasn't just like kissing their shoes and asking for selfies. I was like, why did you do that? Like, we don't send you there to do that. And their response was so terrible. It was horrific. So at least for whatever it's worth, I'm kind of losing my patience with the respect of the institution. Actually, you know, the institution, it's broken. It's been broken for a while. Democrats know how to play it. So step one, the government makes widespread accusations to call everyone they don't like political or domestic terrorists. Step two, they pass laws to be able to take guns away from people that fit that criteria. Step three, they enforce it. Somebody asked me a question the other day. I was doing an event with James Lindsay, a phenomenal event, by the way, with the organization Sovereign Nations. It was terrific, all about Marxism and the theology of Marxism. It was terrific. And somebody asked, they said, Charlie, what's the criteria you look at when it comes to supporting certain Republican politicians? It's very simple. One thing. Can they answer the question of what time is it? Not what time is it? Is it 9:45 or 10:45? No. What time is it metaphorically, meaning do you know what moment our country is in? Do you still think we're in the 1980s of a boom cycle and LGBT radicalism and CRT is nothing more than an academic fringe theory in a book you could barely find in a library in a far off distant corner that you have to dust it off and read it and like, oh, wow, that's what critical race theory is. No, what time is it? And this is something that bothers me so much as these quote unquote principled conservatives. They act as if you must act the same regardless of what time it is. That is insane. Ask Churchill. We have a picture of great old Churchill here. When the stakes are higher, it requires urgent action, immediate and courageous action. This is the story of the West. You do not defeat evil if you are not willing to ramp up the action and the stakes when it comes to things that are beautiful and good and true. That is why Churchill is the greatest man to live in the 20th century. And our Republican Party still thinks it's the 1980s. What time is it? They can't tell you. I want to tell you guys about Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simplest and safest way to digitize all your aging videotapes, camcorder tapes, and more. Look, it was a wake-up call for me when one of our team members' homes burned down. I was like, whoa, all of his family memories gone, vanished, vaporized. Where are your family's old film reels? It's going to be fire season in parts of California soon. Forest fires all across America. What happens if your vacation home burns down or your home burns down? God forbid. But will your memories be saved? How are you going to pass them down to your kids? Well, here's how Legacy Box works. You put them all in a box. You send it off to them. They barcode it. They save it forever. And it goes in the cloud. And you're able to make your legacy permanent and preserved. What memories do you wish you could relive or pass down to your kids? Look, each kit includes everything you need to safely pack and send your recorded moments. Each item is hand digitized by a hand by 200 trained technicians right here in America. So experience the joy and excitement of rewatching your wedding day, baby's first steps, or Christmas mornings. We love Legacy Box. We love using it here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Many of our Turning Point USA team members love it. So go to the Legacy Box event. The Legacy Box Father's Day event is happening now. Go to legacybox.com/Charlie and save 50%. Legacy Box is great for your family or as a gift for your father. That's legacybox.com/Charlie for 50% off. Legacybox.com/Charlie. Okay, I want to play some sound here. Let's go to cut 16, Senator Chris Murphy, the ability to help states pass red flag laws. And let me just say, I know I said this before, but I know a lot of people in our audience, we have a mixed opinion on the red flag issue. I get it. I totally disagree. Disagreement is fun. It's part of what makes a lively civilization. If you all agreed with everything, that would be very Soviet. I think a lot of people that want red flag laws mean well. I think you want the right thing. And I also think, and I will agree with this, there are people that I know, or at least I knew, that I was like, yeah, that person probably should not anytime soon be getting an AR-15. I understand that. People that had a track record of hurting themselves and people that quite honestly needed very significant mental intervention or mental health intervention. So I understand it. But the kind of through line that we are hitting here and that we have is a line that we have coined that actually a friend from Chicago helped me workshop about 10 years ago, which is good intentions do not result in good public policy. Is that in life, good intentions can matter with how you make judgment calls, right? Does that person mean well? In politics, you have to judge the result, not the intention. Well-intentioned people that do terrible, there's plenty of Democrats that quote-unquote mean well, less and less, by the way. A lot of these Democrats mean terribly. I don't care about your intentions when it comes to this. I care about whether or not the policy themselves is going to make us freer, make our country stronger, make us less likely to have another biomedical fascist episode. These are things that I'm worried about. Play cut 16.
The ability to help states pass red flag laws will stop thousands of suicides and homicides. The closing of the boyfriend loophole means that domestic abusers, boyfriends that beat up their girlfriends, won't be able to buy guns. The protections for 21 and under buyers, that means that there's a pause for any 18 to 20 year old who is going into a store to try to buy an AR-15, like the Uvalde shooter, an ability for the police department to intervene.
And then the question also is, who can actually put down a flag? One of our listeners in Custer, South Dakota, on the Flag Radio Network said, Charlie, as a retired cop 30 years in Fargo, I could tell you red flag laws are terrible. As they are written now, they give way too much power to people who may just have a grudge against someone. Plus, there's no clear path for the gun owner to get the guns back. Really, really bad idea, kind of like mail-in voting. So, for example, you know, we get death threats here on the Charlie Kirk Show. I get death threats, unfortunately, pretty regularly. We also get people just wishing us to die, which is not exactly a death threat. But I could imagine it's conceivable that left-wing activist groups would put forward massive amount of flags against me, against my family, against my coworkers. How about if they put flags against everyone at Turning Point USA? They would spam the flag system, and that's not inconceivable. They do that anyway. They would flood the system. It's a way to begin to disarm peaceful, law-abiding individuals. And I just want to kind of just broaden this question, which is, and I would love your thoughts. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. What is it about a moderate Republican that makes them so motivated to try to concede to the left? And yes, it is the desire to be liked, but let me add an asterisk to that, just a little kind of amendment. It is difficult to be pounded by the media every single day. Eventually, the metaphorical media waterboarding that Republicans have to experience, where they get dunked under and they can't breathe, and they get dunked under, all metaphorical, of course. Eventually they say, if I just concede on this one thing, will you just give us a nice article, please? Will you just let up a little bit? It really goes to show the power of the media and the narrative industrial complex. We've talked about the military industrial complex, but the media industrial complex, I would argue, has far more power. They're able to shape opinion, manipulate human behavior, and get even Republicans to betray their voters to pass wide overreaching gun confiscation legislation. Again, some of the parts of the bill, not that controversial, fine. But the part about red flag laws, oof, be careful. And in fact, these Republicans should be opposed by you, and you should contact every single one of them and say, wait a second, why didn't you run on this? Why would you give more power to the government that calls us terrorists? Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Or support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.